Doesn't it always interest you that God came to earth in that fashion? It always blows me away. And you would think, you know, I'm 46 years old, you would think after so many Christmases, you'd think I would get used to that concept, you know, of Christ coming to earth quiet and soft and slow, as Tia so beautifully visually demonstrated for us today. But I don't know. I'm still bowled over by it every time I think about it. I'm still sort of like, why? Why did he come like that? He could have come in quite the display of splendor, you know? It always amazes me. Welcome to Oak River Church. We're continuing our series today on reset, but I could not have the reset light on with Tia dancing. That was a visual distraction for me. I came in when she was rehearsing. I'm like, yeah, that reset button's going down for the dance. So I wanted to put it up now. And we are really glad you came to Oak River Church. We can tell you what we're all about in four words. Loving God. Loving people. That's what we're all about. Loving God, loving people. We had a group last night go to Village Grace to serve meals. How many people would you say were there, Frank, last night from Oak River? Maybe 10 adults, 10 children. It was awesome. I heard it went really, really well. Because we love God and we love people. That's why we were there. The people who were there were there. Also wanted to let you know, I think it's in your program, we are now taking orders for Angel Food Ministries. There's Willie, right? We're ready to take orders after the service. Chris and Willie will be set up at a table where you normally register your children. Am I correct on that? Okay, so if you want to place your orders for Angel Food Ministries food, you can save a boatload of money ordering food through Angel Food, and you can be a blessing to the community and to the church as well. I'm Sandy Phillips, the lead pastor here, but I'm one of many who serve Oak River, a group of elders and ministers who serve as part of a team. Wanted to also let you know that we are having a Christmas Eve service this year. We changed up the time a little bit. We normally do it a little earlier, but this year we said, why don't we try something different, and we're doing it a little bit later. So the service is from 9 to 10 p.m. Our hope is that you can go to your family functions, your family dinners, and then if you're really fortunate, bring your family with you to Oak River Church and celebrate what Christmas is really all about here together with us. We're going to have some fun stuff happening. The kids are going to sing again for Christmas Eve, and I'm going to have fun with the message. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a good time. We have a Christmas gift for you today as you're leaving. It's a little reset magnet that will go on your refrigerator because I wanted all of you to have a reset button that you could press whenever you need to press a reset button. I really wanted you to have one of these. Oh, see, somebody told me it was crooked. Wanted you to have one of those, but it took me about an hour and a half and $15 to make two of those. So, yeah, I didn't have that kind of time or money to do that, so we did a magnet instead for you. But it's really cool. You can put it on your fridge, and every time you look at it, you can remember what we talked about with the reset. So today we're talking about reset for two overlooked teenagers. Now, we don't know the ages of Mary and Joseph, so this is a personal conjecture on my part. Nowhere in Scripture does it say they were both teenagers, but that's just what I imagine in my head. Most theologians do think Mary was definitely a teenager. Joseph is an unknown factor, really, because they were so overlooked. Nobody knows much about them. They were pretty overlooked. And we find in that in Luke 1:26 and 27, because it says in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we talked about that last week, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Yep, that's all the information we have about him. You would think the mother of the Messiah would get a little bit more of a bio, wouldn't you? Like, you would think there would be a couple of chapters, at least, about her history. Where did she come from? What was she about? What made her so special that she found favor with God, that she got to be the mother of Messiah? Nope. All we get is she was a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. That's about it. And they were in Nazareth. Talk about being overlooked. By men, they definitely would have been overlooked. They didn't have a big name. They didn't have a big history. They didn't stand out. When she was born, nobody said, okay, here comes the mother of the Messiah. When she's X amount of years old, she's going to be... No, pretty much overlooked. And as I was reading this and studying this this week, it occurred to me, I wonder how many teenagers are in my life that I'm overlooking. That maybe they're destined to do amazing things for God. But all I see is what I see. You know? I wonder if when people looked at Mary and Joseph, all they saw was what they saw. How could they see anything else? They didn't know what was happening. I just love the fact that God gives everybody a chance for a reset. Last week we talked about Zachariah, who was 99 years old, and he got a reset. And this week we're talking about Mary and Joseph, who didn't need a reset. They hadn't done enough in their lives to have a reset, but somehow God said, yeah, you've been overlooked up to now, and now I'm going to kind of bring you to the forefront of this story a little bit. I'm not going to give a whole lot of information about you to people, but I'm going to let people know that I can bring two people from obscurity, basically, and bring them into a place where they get to participate in my story. Wow. The first point, if you want to follow along, we have note pages in the program. You can kind of see where I am at and where I'm going. If you want to fill in the blanks, go for it. If you don't sweat it. It's there just as a tool for you. Number one, resets have known factors. Resets have known factors. In case you can't tell from this lesson today, I'm doing algebra with my 12 and a half year old, helping him with algebra. And you know, the whole thing of algebra is known factors and unknown factors, pretty much. And I always enjoyed algebra because there are known factors, at least, you know? And the way you figure out the unknown factors is by looking at the known factors, right? And that's what I've tried to get into his head as we've been working on it together. Like, Ethan, you can do this. This is not hard. But what you can't do is focus on the unknown factors first. First, you have to look at the known factors and then go from there. And so as I was studying this story this week, I'm like, wow, when you have a reset, you do have some known factors. What are they? Well, let's look at the scripture. Luke 1, 28 through 33 says, Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. There's a known factor. She's a favored woman. The Lord is with you. There's another known factor. The Lord is with you. That's a good known factor, isn't it? If you're in the middle of a reset in your life, the Lord is with you. That's a known factor. Accept it, embrace it. Verse 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. There's another known factor. You have found favor with God. Now, isn't it interesting to you that the angel doesn't say, this is why you have found favor with God? Because you've always obeyed your mom and dad. Because you've always done this. Because you've always done that. Because you've always dressed this way. Because you've always looked this way. No. We don't really know why Mary found favor with God. Now, I don't know why Scripture, the angel chose to omit that information. I'm not sure. Maybe because all of us who are obsessive compulsive would try to live up to everything that Mary was. I don't know. But I think it's really cool that the angel says you have found favor with God. Here's another known factor. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great. Another known factor. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Talk about some known factors to be faced with when you're a little teenage girl who's getting ready to be married at some point. Wow, okay. Let me get this straight in my head. I found favor with God. What does that mean? I'm going to conceive and give birth to a son, but I'm not married yet, so I'm not sure what that means. But this son is going to be very great. He's going to take over the throne of his ancestor David, and he's going to rule Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow, there's some really good known factors, but there's a whole lot of unknown factors in there too. Aren't there? And then it's interesting because the passage in Luke really tells Mary's story, if you will. But the parallel passage in Matthew tells Joseph's story. Joseph is pretty much left out of the Luke account, and Mary is pretty much left out of the Matthew account. So I wanted to hit both of them to understand both perspectives today. So Matthew 1:18 through 23 says this: this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. That's all the same information. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. There's a known factor. He was a good man. We don't know what qualifies him as such, but we know he was a good man. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. He could have been nasty about it. He could have said, hey, you're pregnant, that's not my child, so I'm out of here. And he could have made quite a scene of it and made her disgraced publicly, and no one would ever want her again for as long as she lived. But as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. There's a known factor. The child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow, what a known fact, huh? That's quite a known factor. His name will be Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us, which is what Tia really danced for us today. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. Those are some really good known factors, huh? Recently, maybe about 6 months ago, my mom came across a journal entry that I had made when I was 15 years old. And somehow it was stuck in a book, and she was going through some books, getting rid of books, and she came across this journal entry that I had made. I don't even know how it was in there, really. And she mailed it to me. And it was so interesting to read it through the eyes of a 46-year-old now, as opposed to the 15-year-old who wrote it, you know? And what struck me about reading it was that I had no idea how my life was going to go when I wrote it. There were a whole lot of unknown factors, but there were some known factors there too. And I looked at that and I was like, wow, God, you are amazing that you could give me just those few known factors, and those known factors can still be true all these years later, even though all the unknown factors have changed a lot of things in my life, but the known factors have remained. And that's what I see about this passage. The known factors are really good, solid known factors. But every reset also has unknown factor, and that's point number two. Resets have unknown factors as well. If you can imagine yourself being Mary for just a moment, you can imagine what the unknown factors might have been in her life. Okay, yeah, I get it. I'm going to have a baby, and I'm going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save people from their sins, and how? Luke 1:34 says, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? How can this be? I don't get it. Now, this is different from what Zechariah asked last week when he said, give me a sign to show me this is true. This is not what she's asking for. She's not asking for a sign. She's saying, I'm gonna what? I'm gonna what, did you say? I'm gonna have a baby? How can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Yeah, there's an unknown factor. What does that look like? Oh, that explains everything, I'm sure she said. That makes everything clear. Wow, the Holy Spirit will come upon me and the power of the Most High will overshadow me. What does that look like? So the baby born... to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. That's one of our state slogans, if you didn't know, in Ohio. Nothing is impossible with God. When I looked it up, some of the manuscripts actually read, for the word of God will never fail. I like that one too. For the word of God will never fail. Why would the angel say that? Because for years and years and years, over 400 years, they had known this Messiah would be promised. And I'm sure they began to doubt whether it was really going to happen or not. So when the angel said, this is what's going to happen, because the word of God will never fail. Nothing is impossible with God. Wow. Talk about unknown factors. You know, I think we get to a place in our lives when we're in a reset, when we have to hold on to the known factors and we have to trust God with the unknown factors. And sometimes it's hard to know which is which, people. I know, because sometimes I'm like, I can't sort it out. You know, it's like, you remember the word problems when you did algebra? The word problems were always the hardest. I mean, I loved them, but because they felt like a challenge, like a riddle to me. I enjoyed that. But part of the riddle is figuring out what's known and what's unknown. And if you're facing a reset in your life right now, I would challenge you to make a list of the unknown or the known factors. Don't worry about the unknown factors. You trust those to God and you say, God, I may not know for a long time what the answer to those unknowns are, but this is what I know. And I'm going to hold on for everything within me to those known factors. And I think that's what Mary did here. I don't think after the angel said, okay, the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you, I don't think she went, oh, I get it now. That all totally makes sense. Now I get it. I can see. I can completely understand how this is going to go down. I don't think that's what she did. I think she just accepted, I may have more questions than answers. I may not have all the answers, but I'm just going to hold on to what I know. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold on to what I know. Point number three, resets include a choice of cooperation. They include a choice of cooperation. I've fought back and forth in my mind whether I was going to use the word cooperation or obedience. Because most of us don't like that word obedience, but we can handle the word cooperation. But really, it's sort of all the same in this story, I think. But if you like cooperation better, go for it. That's what I decided to go with. Matthew 1:24 and 25. back to Joseph's account. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until the son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Wow. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, what if Joseph had not done what the angel told him to do? Because he had a choice. He wasn't forced. The angel didn't say, marry her or else you're toast. I mean, have you ever considered, what if Joseph had not cooperated? What if he had not done what the angel told him to do? Would the Messiah have been born? I think so. How would it have changed the whole story? Now, I think God chose Joseph because he knew he would cooperate. But I think sometimes we're in the middle of our own resets, we forget that we have a choice of cooperation. And that might change how the reset goes. It probably will change how the reset goes. I love that he just cooperated. He didn't have all the answers. I'm sure he had more unknown factors in his head than known factors in his head. But he said, okay, this is what you're telling me to do. This is what I'm going to do. Back to Mary's account, Luke 1:38, Mary responded. After the angel said, this is what's going to happen, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. She did not have all the answers, but she decided to make a decision to cooperate with the plan, even though she didn't know the whole plan. I don't know if there's ever been a point in my life, certainly not when I was 15 and I wrote that journal entry. There's never been a point in my life when God said, okay, Sandy, here's the plan. This year you're going to do this. Next year this is going to happen. The next year this is going to happen. And then in 5 years, this is your 5-year plan. This is your 10-year plan. This is your 20-year plan. Never. God has never done that. Do I have goals? Do I have 1-year goals, 3-year goals? I do. I believe in goal setting. I think it's a great thing to do. But I don't ever want my goals to get in the way of what God's plan might be for me. Because I'm so limited, you see. I can't see past about this far in my life. But God can. He can see what happened in the past when I was 15. He can see what's going to happen in the future when I'm 65. He can see it all at once. And so I have a decision to make. Am I going to cooperate without knowing the 20-year plan? Am I going to cooperate without knowing the 3-month plan sometimes? The hourly plan at times. And I think Mary just said, okay, I'm your servant. Whatever you want to do, I'm yours. Wow, I respect that so much about her. Point number 4. Resets require staying plugged in to God. For the reset to have all the power that God wants it to have in our lives, we have to stay plugged in to Him. We can't say, okay, here's my new start. Now I got to reset, and now I'm going to do my own thing. Because that's not the way it works. It doesn't have the full capabilities of a reset that God wants it to have unless we stay plugged into Him. And I found it so interesting because really we don't hear much about Mary after the birth of Jesus until later when Jesus is 12. We don't hear much about Mary between the ages of Jesus when he was born until he was 12. But Joseph, we hear a little bit more about him. In Matthew 2:13-15, it says, after the wise men were gone, this is from bringing gifts to the baby Jesus, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And the angel said, fear not, life is going to be great for you. No, the angel said, run for your life. That's what the angel said. Look, the angel said, get up, flee to Egypt with a child and his mother. Stay there until I tell you to return because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. Now, I don't know about you, but if an angel appeared to me in the middle of the night and said, run for your life, I would run for my life, but it would be scary, wouldn't it? I would much rather an angel say, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I would much rather have the fear not angel than the get out quick. Joseph, in order to keep the reset going, he had to stay plugged in. He had to stay plugged into God. I mean, what caused him to be able to have dreams that angels appeared to him? I think it's because he was connected with God. He stayed connected with God. And then it says, this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Now, this is the second time in our readings today already that it says, this happened, this fulfilled what the prophets had written about. I love that Matthew was so meticulous in making sure the reader understood that every single thing happened. An angel appearing in the middle of the night saying, run for your life, was all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. It wasn't like an afterthought. Whoops, we got to get Jesus out of here quick. It wasn't like that. It was all part of what was planned hundreds of years earlier. And so Matthew said, this was done to fulfill what was prophesied years ago. You see, some of us, we get that message in one form or another, run for your life, and we think, oh, God fell off the throne. He was taken by surprise by this event. No, he wasn't. No. Nothing takes God by surprise, but sometimes we are taken by surprise and we have to hit the road. Not literally, but figuratively. We have to make some adjustments to our 20-year plan that we didn't expect. Doesn't mean it's not a reset. It's all right. It's all part of the plan. Then in Matthew 2, 19 through 23, it says this, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in another dream, doesn't say another in the scripture, but that's what I'm thinking. Huh, another dream? He left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled, here it goes again, this fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. All this moving around and choice of cooperation and staying plugged in, it was all planned. It was all part of the plan. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a shocker. It was all part of the plan. And I think, I don't know, I'll speak for myself. In my life, when I have a reset going on, there are things that happen that take me by surprise, and I go, huh, I did not see this one coming. But God is not taken by surprise by any of those things. It's all done to fulfill what God wants to accomplish. Because you see, he's crazy about you. He loves you so much that he is meticulously watching over every detail of your life. Meticulously interested in every tiny, minute detail. And I think when we get to heaven, he's going to say, let me show you this book that I wrote about your life before you were born. Let me show you the details in this book about you and about your life before you were even conceived. He loves you. And you see, when things happen and we go, wow, where is this coming from? What we're tempted to do is go, God must not love me if he's letting this happen in my life. How could he possibly love me? And God is saying, look, honey, he puts his arms around us. He goes, it's all part of the plan. You just got to stay plugged into me. It's all part of the plan. I really sense an anointing of his presence here this morning. He wants to take your heart in his hands and massage it. And some of you have broken pieces of your heart, or you have holes in your heart, and you think, oh, this is a mess. This is just a big mess. And God says, for every broken piece in your heart and for every hole in your heart that's been left by somebody else, that allows more capacity for me to come in and fill you up. But you got to stay plugged in to me. You got to stay plugged in. Let's pray. God, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for your love, God. I thank you that you came in silence and stillness and not a big fireworks display. Because God, most of our lives are more silent and still moments than fireworks. And I thank you for the people who are in this room that you, in your love, you seek to take their hearts and your hands and massage yourself into the broken places and into the holes, Lord. And I thank you that you've done that for me and you continue to do that for me. And so I know I am not any more special than anyone else in this room. You seek to do that for every single person. Lord, help us to stay plugged into you. Help us to cooperate with your reset, Lord. I thank you for caring enough about us to bring us together today to look at your word and the potential of a reset in our lives too, just the way we see it in Mary and Joseph's life, the way we saw it in Ruth and Naomi's life and Zachariah and Elizabeth's life. You, God, want to have the same kind of reset in our lives. So I pray that you would help us to cooperate with you and embrace you. Amen. If you don't know how to have a reset spiritually, we're going to have Tim and Tiffany Shedden over at the table today praying with anybody who wants prayer. I would just encourage you to go and say, I need help. I'm in the middle of a big thing in my life and I need a reset button. And I think God's the only one who can really give me the kind of reset that I need. And I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to go over and pray. They're going to be standing right by that table, by the cross, where we all need to be. Thanks for listening today. I don't think I told you, but if you're a guest, if you could take your connection card and just fill out the back top where it gives us your impressions of your visit, then take it back to the table where Chris Hahn is standing. Raise your hand, Chris. Then, and Ken's going to be with her. Take that back there and give the connection card to them, and they'll give you a gift bag full of some goodies, okay? Thanks for listening. Tim?